Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded. From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office. And Zorba, right here you don't get those special parking privileges that you get in your clinic,
right? No, not anymore. But if you're in your virtual office, you have special parking. It's called virtual.
Virtual parking?
Virtual cars, virtual parking.
Oh, you get the best spot every time, probably,
every
right?
time. All you right. got it.
We'll talk healthy living. We'll walk through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics, Zorba.
Yes, nutrition guidelines, what the feds are saying about what should go in school lunches and how those changes are going to be carried out and how they affect our kids. And, you know, kids' nutrition is really important because kids eventually become adults. And if they learn to eat well, better chance they'll eat well as adults. And then we'll talk about a surprisingly simple exercise that may lower your blood pressure and some variations thereof. Interesting data from the BMJ Sports magazine.
Aha. Uh-huh. And what's our special recipe today?
Crispy mushroom risotto. If you like risotto, you will like this recipe. It is a really wonderful recipe that will get your taste buds charged up.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's help out a caller now in Menasha, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. So are you, Dr. Zorba?
Hi. How are you?
Good. I have a question. I'd actually like to just know your opinion on the new weight loss drugs that are all over the place now. Mounjaro and Ozempic. And now there are tirzepatide and semaglutide that you can get online. Just like to know what your opinion is and if you think they're a good thing. Are they for the rest of your life?
Well, there are a couple things. First of all, if you can buy it online without a doctor's prescription, you are probably getting fake stuff. There is a lot of fake stuff online. So you got to be careful about that. If you can buy it online, get shipped to your house, I don't think I would trust that at all. And I'll tell you something, it's a big issue with Amazon, with a lot of things that are then fake on Amazon. So if you're going to take a drug like Ozempic and Mounjaro, you got to get it from a regular pharmacy. And they are expensive. They're $1,000 a month. That's a lot of money. If you have diabetes, they don't cost that much money. It does cost that much if you have to pay cash. But if you have insurance, it doesn't. But I wouldn't trust those online at all. And then online, a doctor who gives you the prescription and then sends it to you. You know, buyer beware. I want to tell you something. Not everything you see on the web is real. I don't know if you know that yet.
Right. Yeah, I do.
That's exactly it. So you do have to take them for life once you start them. When you stop, most people put the weight back on. Now, some do not. So there's some new guidelines that basically have gone out that maybe, and we don't have a lot of data on this, maybe if people use the drugs for 2 years, at that point, they begin to eat differently, they begin to think differently about food, and if you slowly taper them off the drug, they may gain some weight, but not gain all of the weight back. So that's one aspect of it. You know, on the other hand, they may be lifetime. And I don't know if you know, but Oprah Winfrey, you know, basically she was in Weight Watchers. That was part of her company. And now she's left Weight Watchers because Oprah is using Ozempic or Mounjaro, one of the GLP-1 drugs. So that's the first step. The second step is there seems to be something called an Ozempic face, so that some people are losing fat from their face. Now, the thing about fat, subcutaneous fat on the face, is it makes you look healthy. And once you start to lose use it, the wrinkles start to appear on your face. And once those wrinkles start to appear, they don't disappear. If you look at drugs, for instance, for HIV/AIDS, a lot of AIDS drugs, especially the older ones, worked really well for AIDS, but they reduced the fat on the face. And many patients who are HIV positive who take the drugs have skeletal-looking faces. Their bodies, actually, they lose subcutaneous fat, so men often look like they have six-pack abs, but they have it because they've lost other subcutaneous fat. Whether that's going to happen with Ozempic and the others in non-diabetics, not in diabetics, remain to be seen. But these drugs have actually been around, the first versions of this, Victoza, which was the first version, it's been around for about 15, maybe 10 or 15 years. Very, very good for diabetics. They may be helpful in pre-diabetics, but so my take on it is caution. Caution, don't use the web. So are you thinking about using these?
Yes, and actually there is a place now in a town nearby that you can go to, and it costs a fraction of what it costs, but they call it a compound. It's not the brand name. And that's the tirzepatide or the semaglutide.
I wouldn't trust it.
There is a doctor that you see FaceTimes.
Right. Yeah, I would not trust it. So this may be a compounding pharmacy, and there's been some stuff in the journals that I've looked about with compounding pharmacies and whether or not that's really in it or not. So they may say, yeah, I put it in it. They have a nice label. They say, I'm going to do it. On the other hand, where are they getting the drug from? The drug is manufactured. It's patented in the U.S., or does it come from China? And then really, is this really the drug? So it may be nearby, but you know something? There are thieves everywhere in the United States and around the world. And if there's something that people can make money on, they're going to do it. So they may say, hey, I've got the real stuff. I don't trust it. And I wouldn't inject anything into my body unless I knew that it was manufactured the right way. You are at danger. So I would not do that at all.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm sorry. And I heard it was your birthday. Happy birthday. I would sing it, but I'm not really good. Happy birthday. We must have a happy birthday song somewhere that we can put
in. I think you should just sing it. Can you just sing it?
Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. You sing it. You're the singer. Happy birthday,
dear Stacy.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, my goodness. That's the best present ever. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks
for
calling.
Have a wonderful
day. Okay, bye now.
Take care. Thanks so much for calling at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's get to our first healthy living topic today. There's some new nutrition guidelines with for school meals, less sugar, less salt. This is a good thing, right?
Yeah, no, it is a good thing. And what happened was during COVID, those guidelines were relaxed so we could get more kids eating more food, because basically all the kids in many schools got breakfast and got lunch. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have to show that you had needs. You had breakfast and lunch when, you know, no matter what. And the federal government supported that. I still support that idea that you give it to everyone, because otherwise the kids who don't have as much money are singled out. And we do know that kids can be hard on other kids, you know, and made fun of. So I think if you're going to do it for all the kids. I want to chime in on that, because a number of school districts, certainly in Wisconsin, do it. But they made proposals of making change to better align it with federal guidelines. And you can imagine, big agriculture has lined in on this. But under the new rules, schools will have to limit the amount of added sugar to cereals and yogurts in 2025 and 2026. They have to reduce that. Makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Added sugars basically provide about 17%, so that's nearly 20% of the calories in school lunches. Added sugars. So we're not talking about Cheerios being a carbohydrate that's converted into sugar in your body. Do you like Cheerios?
Nah, not really.
See, I love Cheerios. I had Cheerios when I was a kid. good. I love them. But that added sugar, you don't need really to have it in sugar. And then 11% of the school lunches on average, that's going to be reduced significantly. And basically, they're also going to reduce the sodium.
Okay.
So that kids are not used to as much sodium. Now, one thing that they're keeping is chocolate milk.
Okay.
Now, did you like chocolate milk as a kid?
I think we had that option. Sure, I loved it as a kid.
You always
yeah.
have the option yeah. of chocolate milk. So I actually think chocolate milk is okay. Now, I know there are people going to say, oh, my God, chocolate milk, you're really teaching the wrong thing with kids. But I think lugging chocolate milk is actually good because you're going to get calcium into kids who may not eat other things. It's delicious. It's wonderful. Of course, it supports our dairy industry, which I'm pro of because I live in Wisconsin. And even though it has more sugar than regular milk, I still think it's very useful to kids because you're getting in some basic nutrition that they need. So all in all, the new guidelines are great. I think they should have gone a little bit further, but, you know, life is always a compromise and changing of nutrition. What we teach our children in school when they're there then translates into what they're going to be doing as an adult. It really makes a difference. And we have to remember, kids, you know, always, you know, when you say, do as I say, not as I do, you mm-hmm. know, kids do as you do. And when it comes to school and nutrition, you want to do the right thing.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Call us anytime. And if you have a question, leave us a voicemail. Let's go to one of those voicemails now. This is a listener from Ozark, Missouri.
I wanted to know what role pets play in healthiness and longevity for seniors. Because the Delta Society has all kinds of statistics on how they improve your life, lower your blood pressure, you know, get you out of the house, and all that good stuff. I have 390-pound dogs myself. I don't think I could ever live without having a dog.
390-pound dogs, I'm thinking.
That's a lot of dogs.
Well, I've got, that's a lot of, 180-pound, you know, 390-pound dogs, more than 180, sorry.
Is that 270?
You know, 270 pounds, yeah, you know, math. No, math was good. I just got to two dogs. I couldn't get my brain up to three dogs. But that's a lot. I mean, because I've got a 45-pound dog. Just think about all the dog food she has to bring
in. That's
got to
be a lot.
You know, lugging the dog food. But I've done research on this over and over again, and pets are wonderful. They're wonderful, especially for people, you know, seniors is a kind of a broad term. You know, where does it really start? Well, it starts at 65 because, you know, under the Medicare rules that LBJ got passed, 65 was the beginning of Medicare. So we called 65 a senior. Mm-hmm. In reality, prior to that, it was actually probably more like 55 or 60.
Oh, because, really?
Well, people didn't live that long.
Sure.
If you look back in the 1960s, it was common for people to die in their 60s. So mm-hmm. often at 60, it was that. But we call a senior 65, you kind of cross the line. There is no line. There. But all adults, but especially older adults, are helped by pets. You know, first of all, do you have a dog?
Yeah.
Do you talk to your dog?
Yeah, Lily. I love her. Lily. She's great. Yeah. She's really old, though.
Yeah. How old is she?
She's 17. She's going on 18
oh my
right
God.
Now. Yeah. She's.
How many pounds is that dog? Like 10?
She's 12? Like 40.
She's 40?
35,
pounds.
40.
So
yeah.
She's a good sized dog. How many? Wow, that's huge. Does she talk back to you?
No,
she doesn't. See, so it's one of the advantages of dogs over children is that they cost much less. They don't talk back, and you get to change them every few years. Yeah. You know, that's
when real. The UPS truck shows up. She definitely starts talking.
She starts talking.
That's about it, though. Yeah.
That's about and the FedEx truck, of
You're
course.
Right, any
you know,
big truck,
any
yeah.
truck. But anyway, dogs are useful because they're companionship. It's been shown they're very useful. They get you out of the house because you've got to get out of the house. Otherwise, the dog is pooping and peeing in the house. People do that, especially in apartments. But generally, dogs, any kind of an animal, dogs and cats make a difference. Fish and birds, any animal seems to help senior citizens and seems to help other people deal with things. It was especially important during the time of COVID. You remember COVID, don't you?
Barely.
COVID is kind of
a foggy time.
But it was very hard to, and you know, if you look at across the country, being able to actually adopt a dog or a cat was very difficult, especially dogs, because people wanted them in their house.
Yeah.
It gave them companionship. So the answer is yes, animals are very, very helpful, especially to senior citizens, who have problems. So I have a friend of mine a number of years ago, well, pretty recently, but a number of years ago, lost her husband of many, many years. She was very down and out. She told me that I could share this, this story. She was really depressed. She lost her husband of many years. She had no children. And then she got a dog. And all of a sudden, that turned the corner. That dog became her companion, and it helped her through this time of grieving. So that's another time that animals can become helpful. So, yes, animals are great. I'm a dog person.
I can tell.
I'm pro-dog, but I also like cats. I like cats. And I like birds. I'm a bird person.
You're pro-bird.
I'm not into rabbits. And then when it comes to snakes and lizards and big insects, I don't connect to that. But there are a number of people who do, so good for them.
Where do you stand on gerbils and hamsters?
Gerbils and hamsters. Yeah. Well, we had a gerbil or a hamster in a house years ago. Well, they make noise when they're in little little thing in the world.
Yeah.
Do you have a gerbil?
No. I did when I was a kid. I had a couple when I was a kid.
See,
they wouldn't
like
last
them?
Long. I mean, I don't know if we were hard on them or what,
Yeah. Yeah. How about goldfish?
Yeah, sure. I had some goldfish.
Yes. So they're all good.
Yeah.
Moving on.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462.
You know, we've never had a call from a goldfish.
Should we get a goldfish on?
Yeah, that's right.
What would be their question?
That's a good question.
Is there any other food besides these flakes?
Is there any other food besides flakes? That's right.
They'd be really interested in the recipe.
And what's the temperature of the water? Can you warm it up a little bit? Yeah.
800-462-7413.
We could go on with this even more, but I think we're good on that one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Before the break, Zorba, it's time to log into the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page for another edition of Facebook Feedback. All right, Zorba, you recently visited your kids and grandkids out west. You took a nice trip out there.
I did.
There.
Zion.
You went to Zion National Park.
I loved it.
It looked like a great trip.
It was a great trip.
You posted a bunch of photos on Facebook page.
We got a bunch of comments on it.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
And we love hearing from our wonderful listeners.
We do.
I'm going to read some of them. But for this, I'm thinking about reading them in the style of like a Ken Burns documentary.
Oh,
do you watch those?
I do. Of course.
They're great, aren't they?
Of course. He's fantastic.
Okay. While I read these, maybe imagine like the visual would be like a black and white photo of like an old farmer.
I got it in my brain.
Maybe flowing fields of golden wheat, or how about a canoe paddle gently dipping into a glassy river?
Okay, I got it.
And then I think we need some music for this.
Okay.
So Brad, can you cue up maybe some Ken Burns documentary music? There it is. Okay. this is from Peter Ostrushko, actually. This is Mallard Island hymn. All right, so I'm going to read some of these.
Thank you.
Nature and family, medicine for healing of the heart. You are a wise doctor.
Oh, how nice.
Ann White, Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
I love it.
I've hiked those slot canyons. Quite the experience.
Oh, they are.
Ed Hill, Anago, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Travel is the best part of retirement. Then there's a thumbs up emoji.
Absolutely.
Trish Hort, Oregon, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
My wife and I went last year. Gorgeous park.
It is.
Gorgeous, all caps.
It is.
Pedro Arellano, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Wonderful.
Looks nice. Sunshine emoji.
I love it.
Jill Vilwalk, Vilwaukee, Wisconsin. Zion is da bomb. Get to the Upper West Side if you have a car. Totally different range of formations. Lance Kozlowski, Guadalajara, Mexico. And then you posted a photo of you standing with some horses.
Yes.
And for that, someone wrote, "The outside of a horse is good for the inside of a man." Bob Rodenkirch, Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, 2024. That's it. I could go on and on. I don't think I should go on and on.
I really like the horse comment. You know, there's the famous Groucho Marx comment, you know, not to do with horses, but dogs.
Oh, what is it?
Well, it's wonderful.
Do you need
it
music
says,
for it or not?
No, I don't even, you know. Outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read.
That's good.
You've never heard it, huh?
No, I've never heard that one before. I like that one. I feel like we need more Groucho Marx on this show. Do you have a healthy living tip for the good doc? Let us know by posting on our Facebook page or by sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls coming up, more emails and voicemails, and we'll be cooking up a crispy mushroom risotto recipe.
Delicious.
Keep it right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Christensen in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's sitting right over there across
right
from
here.
Me on the mic.
Right
He's
here.
Got a striped shirt
paying
on.
Paying attention.
Yeah.
Paying attention.
Looking good. And 800-462-7413. That's the number to call anytime. That's 800-462-7413. But before we get back to the call, Zorba, what's our recipe? We have crispy mushroom risotto today.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Do you like risotto?
Sure.
I love risotto.
It's great.
I love mushrooms. I love risotto. I like to make something that's kind of fun to have at a good meal when I'm having friends over any time of year with a wonderful maybe a white wine that I might pick out and stuff like that and maybe some crispy bread. So this is a great recipe. And I love mushrooms. They have umami that really...
I love mushrooms,
you know,
too.
I just love mushrooms, you know, which is wonderful. Okay, so let's start out. A pound of mixed mushrooms, wild shiitakes, a cremini, any broken into pieces, about a quarter inch thick. So mixed mushrooms, not just button mushrooms, although you can do it with button mushrooms, but try to find some other mushrooms.
Okay.
3 cloves of garlic peeled and thinly sliced.
3 garlic cloves peeled and thinly sliced.
A little thyme. If you've got some thyme... Sprigs, use 6 thyme sprigs, but if not, you could use a teaspoon of dried thyme.
All right, 6 sprigs of thyme.
Why is it pronounced thyme versus thyme?
I don't know.
You know,
I have no idea.
You know,
Ask Paul Simon.
There was a guy, Peter Schickele, PDQ Bach. He was a comedian who played music, and he had a phrase: "If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time."
I've heard that.
That was his famous phrase. Moving on, quarter teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes.
Quarter little tea crushed red pepper flakes.
You're going to use some virgin olive oil. Quarter of a cup here, a couple of tablespoonfuls there.
That sounds good.
1 3/4 teaspoon of kosher salt. I like the Diamond brand.
1.75 teaspoons of kosher salt.
Medium onion finely. Finely chopped.
1 medium onion, finely chopped.
A cup of arborio rice. Now, for risotto, you really want to get the special rice. Mm-hmm. It does cost more.
Sure.
Many of the Italian rices are grown in a certain region, but they're actually middle grain rice, and they just pick up the flavors better. You can use a mid-grain rice that isn't arborio, but you will have a better risotto if you have better rice. That's important.
1 cup arborio rice.
1/2 teaspoon ground pepper.
1/2 little tea, freshly ground black pepper.
A half cup of white wine. And you could use dry vermouth, but I use white wine. I use that and often a dry vermouth that I'll have up in my pantry. That works too.
1/2 cup of dry vermouth or white wine.
That's right. 3 cups of homemade chicken stock or any chicken stock of your choice.
3 cups homemade chicken stock. Any chicken stock.
2 ounces of grated Parmesan.
2 ounce finely grated Parmesan.
Finely grated Parmesan. 2 tablespoons of cold unsalted butter cut into pieces.
2 big tea cold unsalted butter.
1/2 teaspoon of finely grated lemon zest.
1/2 little tea lemon zest.
And 1/3 cup of parsley leaves. And then you can do some lemon wedges.
Why not?
You know, for a serving. So, you know, this is on our website. It's a lot. I know if you're in your car, you haven't written it down. And if you can memorize all of this, that would be amazing. But let's make it.
Sure.
So place racks in the bottom third and middle of the oven, preheat it to 350. Toss the mushrooms, garlic, thyme, red pepper flakes, 1/4 cup of oil, 1/2 teaspoon of salt in a rimmed baking sheet. Roast it on the bottom rack, tossing halfway through till basically they're browned, about 25 to 30 minutes. That's really what you're doing. You're basically, you know, crisping it up in the sheet, not on the stove. Meanwhile, Heat 2 tablespoons of oil in a large oven-proof pot over medium heat. Add the onion and cook, stirring often. That's medium because you don't want it to brown, till it's slightly translucent, about 5 minutes. Stir in the rice, season with pepper, a little salt. Cook until some of the grains are translucent. Hard to pronounce that word
like
for me, but I
can
get it out. About 2 minutes. And that's a very important part of making any risotto. The rice has really got to be sautéed. Now, add the vermouth, bring to a simmer, stir for about and cook for about 2 minutes so you're getting the alcohol out of the vermouth. Add 2 1/2 cups of stock, bring to a simmer, then cover. Bake until the liquid is completely absorbed, but the rice is slightly firm, about 16 to 18 minutes. You may have to stir that a bit. So now return the pot to the stove. Heat it over medium heat, add the remaining 1/2 cup of stock. Cook, stirring constantly until the rice is tender but still has some bite and the sauce is creamy, about 2 minutes. Remove it from the heat, then put in the Parmesan, the butter, the lemon zest. Season it to taste if you need it. Add a bit of warm water if you need to. The risotto should be thick, but it should be pourable. Then transfer the risotto to a platter. Top it with the crispy mushrooms. Drizzle it with olive oil. Serve it with lemon wedges, and then say hooray.
Sounds great.
Because you made a great recipe.
Yeah.
So it's a little more complicated than
there's
my usual
there.
Recipes. There's a lot there. So go to the website, that's zorbapastor.org, zorbapastor.org. And if you've never made risotto, this is a good risotto to start with because it's wonderful. It's got lots of wonderful taste, and risotto is delicious.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. 7413. All right, let's try to help out a caller now, Zorba. This is a caller from Bartlett, Illinois. Hi.
Hi.
How could we help?
I had hip replacement surgery about 1.5 years ago. And prior to having it, I did a lot of research. I did a lot of interviewing of other people helping to make that decision. And although that was valuable, at the end of the day, I found that my story was vastly different, and I feel like people that are considering having hip replacement probably want to keep some of that other information at the forefront, too, when they're making their decision, because...
What sort of information are you talking about? How was your story different?
Yeah, so many people I talked to said, oh, they had the surgery, they were up walking right away. They were in 2 weeks, they were back to, you know, walking around their neighborhood with their animals or doing their routines, their workouts, what have you.
Sure.
And my story wasn't like that. And even now, 1.5 years later, I have daily pain.
Sure. Of course.
From my hip replacement.
So sorry.
Now, well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I have a decision to make because the other side has that too.
Right.
But having gone through this now, you know, I'm kind of at the place of do everything else. And I don't know about other listeners. A little bit quick background. I had a career for years where I was sitting in front of my computer. And I think a lot of what led up to me needing the surgery and the osteoarthritis is just the way our world is today, where so many people are sitting in front of computers for extended periods of time, and you get a lot of atrophy that happens in the body. So I guess I would ask you, doctor, about my other side. I'm thinking that I just keep working on resolving all those years of atrophy, try to strengthen those muscles, and then it absolutely last resort if it gets to the point where I can't walk or something. Maybe then I consider having that other side done. What are your thoughts on that?
So first of all, I always tell people when I practice and they make the decision, especially if it turns out well, they'll say to me, you know, I should have done it 6 months ago, you know, or 1 year ago. And I said, well, I really think you should wait. I agree with that. You want to wait until you absolutely need it. Why? It's not a natural part of your body. So what determines that is not an x-ray, it's not a CT, it's not an MRI scan. It's really pain and function. You know, how painful, how functional it is. You bring up a really good point. I don't know if exactly what atrophies in the body, but certainly you do atrophy if you sit in front of a computer, if you don't get on the ground, you don't sit down on the ground and flex your hips and so on. If you go to India, as I do with projects every year, they have squat toilets. So even people well into their 80s and 90s go to the toilet and squat. I mean, they do it because they've been doing it their whole life. And as soon as you introduce into areas of India where you have sit-down toilet, they do the same thing as, you know, in the Western world, they don't have that same ability to move their hips. So whether you should get it done the next time is a function of how much pain you have and whether or not you can walk around and do the things you love to do. And I commend you. You want to do everything possible before you have it. You want to do all the right exercises, go to physical therapy, see what you should do, what you shouldn't do, see whether or not you tolerate the pain using Tylenol, which is the safest, you know, the occasional use of anti-inflammatories. We used to give them all the time and say, you know, take them every single day, but we don't do that anymore because we know it's better to just take them as needed. But the answer is, pain and function. If you can't get around, get the other hip done. And that hip might turn out the same way or might be good. Mm-hmm. If this is something that occurs when you're sitting, it may not just be the hip, but it may be other things that occur during the surgery. Because some people actually, during the surgery and they're moving around, then develop things that are not, we can't find on an image, MRI, or CT scan, that really bothers them. So what I would do is I would look on the web. I would try various different kinds of cushions and see whether or not you have a cushion. Especially, there's something called the ischiotuberosity, which is in your pelvis. Look it up on the web. You can see where it is. And sometimes it's the ischiotuberosity that's producing the pain. And it may not actually be from the hip, but it may be from the ischiotuberosity that's sitting and bumping that's on there. And you may find various things. Donuts. I've got a good friend of mine, and he brings a pad everywhere. And if he sits on his pad, he doesn't have trouble, either in the car, when he goes to an event, when he goes to a movie theater. And so I would look at an ischiotuberosity pad to see if that's what's causing your pain. It may not be the hip. It may be that.
Okay. I will look into that. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Good luck. And thanks for sharing that.
Of course. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, as you know, we have some doctors who listen to the show. Quite often they'll send us voicemails offering up their take on something that was discussed on the show.
You know,
so we decided to create...
Once a doctor, always a doctor. Right?
There you go. That's right. We decided to create a segment called... Doctor to doctor.
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 And doctor.
It's doctor to doctor. It's doctor to doctor.
I do love this music.
All right.
Is that Hello Medicine?
Hello Medicine.
Hello Medicine.
But it, you know, it's kind of
blurry. I got it.
Blurred the lines.
I got it.
Following voicemail came from a doctor in Utah.
Hi, Carl and Zorba. This is your friendly cardiologist from Las Vegas and Utah. The patient called about cooking with certain oils. And as you know, the palm kernel oil and coconut oil are the worst. The highest cholesterol rises I've had are people that use coconut oil. So those are the bad oils. The good oil is olive oil. So appreciate your show. Look forward to it every week. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Ron Roth. This week, I'm not Marcus Welby.
Now, what is he referring to there? Explain to the listeners.
Oh, you know Marcus Welby?
I didn't know who that was.
Oh, my goodness.
You mentioned him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you're a young guy. Marcus Welby. It was a show when I was a kid on TV, Marcus Welby, MD.
Okay.
And the show was every week he solved one problem that nobody else could solve.
Oh.
And Robert Young was the show. And it was like a hit on TV. I don't know.
That sounds like House. Is that the same premise as House?
Kind of like House came from Marcus Welby. That's right.
Okay.
It did. And it was Marcus Welby, and he saw one patient every hour. It wasn't every hour. It was every, you know, one patient a week.
That's, yeah.
So there's a joke. I'm not Marcus. I can tell from the age what his age is. He's around my age.
Yeah.
But he brings up a good point. He's right. Palm kernel oil, coconut oil. You know, what you want is you don't really want to cook with those oils. It's safflower oil. It's olive oil. Avocado oil is good. Those are really the ones you want to cook with. Why not go to the good oils?
Yeah.
Why not eat, if you're going to have something, eat the good oils. And frankly, olive oil is wonderful. We know with the Mediterranean diet, it's the mainstay. We know the Med diet is the king and queen of diets. So, yes, out with the palm oil and anything from palm tree, in with olives. In fact, I'd love some olives right now.
I wish we had a little bowl of olives here.
Little olives, a little bread, tapas. Yeah, a little tapas. Let's have it right now.
Sounds great. Have a healthy living question for Zorba?
I hope.
Oil bet you do.
Oil
I've actually used that one before,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I just
okay.
totally recycled that pun.
That's right.
Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's the number you can call anytime.
Anytime.
That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, we always love it when our listeners email us with their helpful tips. The following is from Laura in Spokane, Washington. This is an email. Hello, Dr. Zorba. I heard a little bit of your recent program where you mentioned you're keeping little Debbies for a mere 6 months
to see what happens to them.
I think
she's
it's been
here
7 months
right
at this point,
yeah,
right?
Right, it's been 7 months.
There it is. It's still
right.
there.
That's right. Listen to it. Listen.
That's not the gavel. That is
That's little Debbie.
Debbie.
And I'm bringing it out to my nose.
Oh, yeah.
You do it, too. You can still
it
smell.
Still smells.
Little Debbie still smells
sweet
like
and
little
sugary.
Debbie. And not one insect or anything else has deteriorated this.
The
and
bugs want nothing to do with
actually,
that thing.
Actually, it's pretty hard, too.
Yeah,
it's not,
I mean, it's
I think
been
I'd
7 months.
Break my tooth.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Anyways, Laura goes on. Well, science minds think alike. Please find my attached photo of a Twinkie pack. And here it is. I printed it out. This is a Twinkie pack.
Oh, wow. Look at it.
I got it in 2010. She got it in 2010.
Wow.
I've kept them dry and at room temperature since then. The pack is yellowed, and the yellow color of the cakes is not quite as bright, and they are very hard, but no mold.
No mold at all. But I love, I'm looking at this right now. We've got to put this on the web.
We will.
But I love the cartoon right next to it.
Oh, can you, it's a Far Side
cartoon. The
cartoon,
it's wonderful. It says, school lunch reunion. There's a banana, an apple, and a Twinkie. And the banana is clearly got, you know, those black streaks. I mean, yeah, that's the banana. The apple is kind of, you know, it's, you know, kind
wrinkled,
of getting moldy.
Yeah.
But the Twinkie looks the same. And it goes, Twinkie, you haven't changed a bit. What's your secret? We got to put this on.
We'll put it on the Facebook page.
You know, golden, I'm reading it, Hostess Twinkie, golden sponge cake with creamy filling.
Yeah.
Snack classics. Wait, 3 ounces. There it is. Perfect.
Let me really quick finish Laura's email.
Okay.
She says, your rinky-dink experiment with whatever type of little Debbie you have chosen, no doubt will not hold a candle to this. However, I do encourage you to try for an open-ended study.
Okay.
Thanks for all you do to help regular folks understand medicine and science. That's
Thank
pretty
you.
Nice email.
Thank you. It's pretty good. Pretty
Great.
Good. And we will put a picture of
yeah.
this on the web. Along with a picture of a little Debbie.
Of our little Debbie.
Our little Debbie.
Sure.
That's right. Who has a little sign on it in the studio.
Yep.
Please do not disturb.
Yeah, and no one has disturbed
Nobody
that
has.
I can't believe no one's tried to eat it. Have a helpful tip for Zorba? Just post it on our Facebook page or send it an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls to come, more of your voicemails and emails, and we'll dig into another healthy living topic, all coming up here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's right there on the mic with his hat on. Zion National Park hat. 800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime. That's 800-462-7413. But before we get back to those phone calls, I'm going to read the headline. And it's kind of a clickbaity headline here of this
it is.
Healthy
it
living.
Is. It,
it
is.
Says, The surprisingly simple exercise that can lower your blood pressure.
That's right. That was the basically that's what the British Medical Journal, the BMJ Journal of Sports Medicine, looked at isometric exercises. And when they put out their PR release for the journal article, that's what they told about. So, of course, if you've got high blood pressure, you're wondering, what can you do to lower your blood pressure naturally? Or what can you do to lower your blood pressure with medicine so you don't need a second medicine? Well, we know a few things. We know weight loss works. We know for many people, not everyone, but for many people, reduction in sodium works because most people had consumed too much sodium, mostly from salt products. We also know that reduction in alcohol can make a difference too. And we know generally exercise works. But these are isometric exercises. And these are like wall sits or wall squats. So have you ever tried to do a wall squat?
I've done them. I have not a lot. They're not that fun.
They're not that easy. But in this particular study, they looked at and they compared it to like other things that we know lower, such as brisk walking and bicycling. They looked at wall sitting for 2 minutes. Now, let me tell you, if you've ever done a wall sit, 2 minutes is a long time to actually hold up a wall sit. But they looked at different amounts of wall sits, which basically is a isometric exercise. And they found that the systolic blood pressure could lower by about 10 millimeters. That can be significant. That can mean the difference between a pill and no pill or between one pill and two pills. Hmm. And they looked at the diastolic blood pressure, which also lowered by 5 minutes. And the idea is that this is a static exercise. It's different. And they went through research. They looked at 270 randomized collective trials that have actually looked at isometric exercise. And lo and behold, that made a difference too. Now, I think the issue about this is that we think about aerobic exercise, which is different. Doing the bike, moving around, we know that lowers blood pressure. You know that, but this is isometric exercise. So it may work with other things, such as stretching stretching those bands that are used, such as a wall sit that you may be able to do for 15 or 20 seconds, such as a slow squat. And I think this goes on the dovetail of exercises that women do not get. Recent studies have shown that women who do exercises that are weightlifting exercises have fewer heart attacks and strokes and may also lower their blood pressure. But I think it really opens up the idea that anything we do with our body is good. Isometric, isotonic, aerobic, non-aerobic. Wall sits also can reduce your blood pressure and may be worthwhile for you.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to those calls now. This is a caller from Wayzata, Minnesota. Hi.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Sure, how can we help?
My question is, I'll be approaching 60 years old soon, and there's so much information about intermittent fasting out there. I wanted to get some insight on the thoughts of intermittent fasting for the 55-plus age group, where to start, and basically if it's safe or not.
So do you have any medical problems right now that you're dealing with?
Yeah, just pre-diabetic.
Pre-diabetic, okay. Okay, weight, overweight, right weight, shed a few pounds, gain a few pounds, what where do you sit with that?
Well, medically I'm obese, but I'm I don't feel like I'm obese. I walk 5 miles a day. I eat pretty healthy.
Sure.
I am a recovering alcohol addict, so I've got some sugar problems from that. I quit 10 years ago. And so that's what I'm dealing with.
And let's not forget, if you only look at BMI, I would have weightlifters who would come into my office who are all muscle, and it would show that they're obese. And I thought, well, BMI doesn't show that. They're not obese. They were all muscle. But intermittent fasting, I think it's really good. I mean, I think if it's done the proper way, especially if you're, you know, if you're pre-diabetic, and then it's a function of what you eat in between that intermittent fasting. So, you know, you follow, there are different ways to do it. You know, some people, you know, you don't eat after a certain time. I'll tell you, the traditional Buddhist way, which was intermittent fasting, is you ate in the morning, you ate at lunch, and then you had an early dinner, and you didn't eat until the next morning. When I say an early dinner, it was really equivalent to like 3 or 4 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So that's been a very traditional thing in Buddhist cultures, many Buddhist cultures in Thailand, in India, in Tibet. And in other cultures, it's also been the same way, the concept of fasting. But the issue with fasting is also, what sort of calories are you getting after the fast? So I have truckers who are clearly overweight, and they do intermittent fasting not because they want to. They'll say, well, I don't have breakfast and I don't have lunch, and then I have a big dinner. And during their dinner time, they eat basically too many calories. So I think part of it is, what are you eating for the fasting? And you want to look at a Mediterranean diet, plentiful fruits and vegetables, colorful, you know, whole grains when you're eating potatoes, which are really good. You don't want to use too much butter. You may want to use some sour cream. You certainly want to eat the skin. You want fiber in your diet to slow down your digestion if you're a pre-diabetic. So have you tried intermittent fasting?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. And there's times when I'm extremely hungry, and mm-hmm. there's other times where I feel like I could go for 2 or 3 more hours. And so I do stretch uh-huh. that out.
What are your times that you eat, from what to what?
I typically do anywhere from a 14-hour fast to a 18-hour fast. Mm-hmm. Dinner at 4 o'clock.
Good.
Eating the next morning, not till, you know, 7 or 8 mm-hmm. o'clock.
Good. I think that's good. The answer is yes. It's good for you. It's healthy. If you're pre-diabetic, you want to stay on that pre-diabetic side. And that means the Med diet, the Mediterranean diet, is the best food for you to eat.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks. And thanks for sharing that. And you're right. Even though the BMI may say you're obese, you're not necessarily obese at all. BMI is only one number, and it's overused completely.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's check in again with your favorite backseat drivers.
The grammar police.
Oh, no, it's the grammar police.
Someday I got to add you to that track. It's just beautifully, beautifully sung.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Actually, okay, Zorba, this message came from the mother police. I don't think we've had the mother police on before.
No, I don't think so.
Before.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Let's hear a voicemail. This is from a listener in Wisconsin.
I'm listening, and you're talking about a preparation of egg salad. And Zorba keeps insisting that this is not your mother's recipe. At some level, I think that people know that whereas certain mothers made only meat and potatoes, other mothers are very health-minded and make very healthy, delicious things. And at some level, this almost goes into the area of knocking on mothers. No one would ever say this is not the egg salad your father made. Thank you. Bye.
It's funny because I would say that. I would say this is not the egg salad my father would make. I would say that because he can cook one thing, and that's pretty much it.
What can he cook? Boiled water?
It's like a Mexican fried tostadas with like beans and vegetables.
That's
and
all
stuff.
He cooks.
Yeah.
That's
AKA Mexican blowout.
That's right.
Yeah.
I will no longer say this is not your mother's egg salad.
Just change it to father.
I will say this is not my mother's egg salad.
Okay, personalize it. Yeah.
Personalize it. It's
then
not my mother's exercise. I follow it all. And then for all of those mothers and fathers out there and boys and girls who continue to make egg salad, I am very sorry. Mea culpa. I apologize for my transgression. I meant no harm. No harm. No foul. I'm sorry.
Do you want to join the mother of all police forces? That's the grammar police. Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
mother@WPR.
That's not it.
Zorba@WPR.org.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. This is a listener from DeForest, Wisconsin.
Hello, Dr. Zorba. This is a long time listener. Just a quick question. I just had knee surgery yesterday, and I'm trying to find out healthy foods that would help with the healing as fast as possible. I do eat a lot of organic fruits and vegetables, not too much meat, just chicken and fish once in a while. But anything you could do would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for everything you do. Have a great day.
Well, you know, post-surgery, I'm a big proponent of making sure you get enough protein. I think that's really important. And often, if you're not getting enough protein, the ways to do that, you know, naturally is to eat eggs, feed eggs. You know, it's got albumin, which, of course, you know, is a great protein, probably one of the best of proteins that you can have. Of course, salmon, fish, chicken, and things like that. But if you don't feel like getting that, what you want to do is go and get a protein shake. And there are protein shakes that you can purchase now at a number of stores that have 30 grams of protein in it. And if you eat two of those, you're getting 60 grams of protein. And that's kind of the minimal amount of protein you need in your diet. So you can easily boost it by taking a supplement. But protein, always plentiful fruits and vegetables in there. And make sure you stay hydrated. That's important. Post-surgery, post any surgery, you want to be hydrated. People often don't drink enough because they don't feel like they really want to drink enough. So hydration is another key issue.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we punch out today's Zorba, it's time for the segment where an honest to Pete doctor takes on the mighty internet. This is Google Doc. The following email came from a listener who signed their email, quote, "The Hermit of Hillsboro, Wisconsin." Let's find out. Here's the Hermit's email. "Zorba, I get a great kick out of your show. I'm 9 years younger than you and wonder how you have so much energy. I'm inclined to cook everything from scratch," everything all caps. "My idea of prepared food is mustard." Well, wine and beer.
Mustard, I love it.
"Wine and beer and canned tomatoes from the store. And I don't catch and can my own sardines and mackerel either." The Hermit goes on. "The question is, are probiotics overhyped? I saw somewhere a suggestion that it's not, after all, a miracle cure for everything. Can this be true? I'm aiming to live at least as long in my obscure retirement as you in your splendidly public character."
How wonderful.
Signed, the Hermit of Hillsboro, Wisconsin.
I love it. I think probiotics are overhyped.
Absolutely. Okay.
I don't take any probiotics. Do you?
You just like yogurt. I don't, but you've always said on the show yogurt's good enough.
Yogurt is great. Yeah. And I have yogurt. I like to have yogurt. It's a, you know, lactobacillus. It's a good pro. But I don't take powdered probiotics. I don't think
they're expensive.
There's any
Those pills are expensive.
They're expensive. Yeah. The pills, and I don't think there's any good scientific evidence that shows that they do something, except in certain circumstances, you know, where people have some significant medical problems, GI problems, irritable bowel syndrome, for instance, that we may not be able to take care of through regular medical care because we don't really have a lot of the answers. And probiotics may make a difference to those people in that situation. But yes, it's overhyped, it's overused, save your money, but contribute to public radio because that's always important instead of taking those probiotics.
Are you pro-probiotic?
Or anti.
Or anti-antibiotic. Or anti-probiotic.
That's right.
Pro-antibiotic.
Then send us.
Post on our Facebook. Yeah, I like that you're finishing it for me because you're done with that
.org. That's WPR.org. Or, of course, Facebook.
Should we do this again next week, Zorba?
We will.
All right. If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web.
Anytime at ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us
anytime,
to leave us your question at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's zorbapastor.org.